I'm really excited to be here to share this work with you, and I have nothing to disclose. In January of this year, Dr. Gasper and I co-taught a course in microfinance and public health to semester abroad students in the Dominican Republic. I'm going to start with a few definitions just to make sure we're all on the same page, and then explain the model that we developed and used. And I'll touch on why microfinance and public health, and then spend some time detailing the course and the outcomes. So microfinance is small-scale financial services to people who lack access to traditional banking services. So such services as savings, microloans, microinsurance, even micromortgages are growing across the world. As you probably are aware, there's a lot of discussion in the literature about interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary, and who knows what other terms. And that's beyond the scope of this paper. But for the purpose of the presentation, I kind of use them interchangeably. And we define the concept as analyzing, synthesizing, and harmonizing the links between disciplines into a coordinated whole. That definition is from Choi and Pak, who also point out that life is multiple disciplinary, so teaching and learning should be as well. The Association for Experiential Learning defines experiential learning as a philosophy and methodology in which educators purposefully engage learners in direct experience and focused reflection to increase knowledge, develop skills, and clarify values. So based on the literature and theory, the literature on theories and methods in experiential learning is pretty massive. Building on some of that work, we constructed and tested a model which we called facilitated interdisciplinary learning. Student learning, of course, is at the heart of the model because that, after all, is the goal of an educational program. That learning takes place in a specific setting, and the characteristics of that setting have an impact on the learning. So what distinguishes facilitated interdisciplinary learning model from general learning is that it is interdisciplinary and it is adapted to the setting. A course designed using this model has objectives and content related to each of the disciplines and to the relationships between them, but the activities, examples, and some of the readings are specific to the geographic and cultural setting of the course. For example, the students created a model based on information gained in grounded theory interviews. And as we constructed that model as a learning community, we realized that the model we had created was very American and very academic, and it became much more real, much more powerful to all of us when we were able to revise it and ground it in the Dominican setting where we were. And if there's time in the end, I'll show you that model, but that really isn't the purpose of this presentation. So a course in facilitated interdisciplinary learning includes learning and growth in five areas: agency, community, academic, sensory, and reflection. And I'm going to define and explain each of those in a moment. So why microfinance and public health? Well, first of all, there's the recommendation from the Institute of Medicine that keeping the public healthy requires not only a well-educated public health workforce, but also a well-educated public. And they recommend that all undergraduates should have access to public health education. The Association of American Colleges and Universities, in collaboration with other groups, then developed recommendations for undergraduate public health education. They recommended, among other things, the development of integrative courses drawing on multiple disciplines. Some of the writings within the field of microfinance, particularly Mohindra and Haddad, have called improved health an unintended consequence of microfinance. And finally, with my background in public health and Dr. Gasper's knowledge in finance, the combination of those two disciplines made a lot of sense for us. So this course was a three-credit course offered to undergraduate students from Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, who were in a semester-long immersion in the Dominican Republic. Most of the students in the spring 2010 semester were second semester sophomores with an average age of 19.5. So they were young, and you can see that they're young in the picture of them. The course was structured as an interactive seminar with readings, internet research, a qualitative research project, and building a model based on those qualitative interviews. The setting, Creighton University is affiliated with a Jesuit health education and healthcare complex that's located on the outskirts of Santiago de los Caballeros, which is the second largest city in the Dominican Republic. The students and faculty sleep, eat, and study at the center, but also spend significant time at service sites in the city. The semester abroad program includes required courses in Spanish and in social justice in the Dominican Republic, elective choice courses, elective courses choices, 50 hours of community service, and 2 10-day intensive homestays in rural villages in the Dominican Republic. So this particular course was taught in a 3-week intensive in January and February of this year. So the academic facet of the model we define as ensuring students gain new academic knowledge and skills. We structured the course to introduce students to concepts in microfinance, public health, and qualitative research, including research ethics. Among the academic skills we sought to develop were reading and reporting on research, finding and analyzing data, qualitative interviewing, and model building. The core text for the course was Microenterprise Development for Better Health Outcomes, along with several classic articles and monographs in microfinance. In addition, the students read a variety of research articles and case studies on microfinance. Some of these articles were read by teams of 2 to 4 students who then presented the content and led class discussion. Each student also had an individual article reporting, reporting research on the impact of microfinance. We chose to teach most of the public health content through discussion and exploration. We began by comparing and contrasting public health with medical health care, and we explored the social determinants of health, which were very real to the students because of the health and social issues they were seeing in Santiago. And we really did this just by brainstorming. What impacts health? What are you seeing out there in the city that's impacting the health of people? Once we developed that list of possible social determinants, then we talked about how would we measure the health impact of those various social determinants. And then we took that list and explored what data can we actually access that will give us information about those determinants. One of the exercises that was really fun to do and just created so much buzz and discussion, we looked at various health status measures for Haiti. Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with Dominican Republic, and it's a very low income. It's one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. The Dominican Republic is a middle income country, and then the United States. So we looked at health status measures across those three countries. The epidemiological transition really pops out when you do an exercise like this, because you see in Haiti very high fertility rates, very high infant mortality rates, infectious diseases very high. Dominican Republic, you begin to see that birth rate coming down, infectious diseases coming down but still present, chronic diseases coming up, and then of course the United States. But one of the really interesting things about this exercise was we did it a week after that massive earthquake in Haiti. We felt the earthquake. We were running for doors because it was strong enough that we were frightened. And then the mission became a center of operations for a variety of relief teams that were on their way to Haiti. So some of the people from one of those teams joined our discussion about the social determinants of health and looking at across that those countries. And then the last part of the academic facet of the program was that we conducted a grounded theory research project to understand the impact of microfinance on the health of families and communities. This added a variety of academic knowledge and skills, including skills in Spanish, because the interviews were all conducted in Spanish. Our model seeks to develop each student's agency, that is, their sense of competence and confidence to act as a change agent. We work to create an openness for the students to challenge us and each other. And in addition, given the volume of material on both topics, only a few of the readings were required of all of the students. Many other articles and topics were assigned to individuals or small groups to read, synthesize, and present to the class. For example, each student had a specific impact article, and they were the only student that read that particular article, which was research on the impact of microfinance on some aspect of health. Might be on domestic violence, it might be on food security. It was a variety of articles. And whenever a topic was being discussed, then they were responsible for bringing the content of their impact article into that discussion. A learning community is one in which there is shared responsibility to recognize and applaud strengths, to facilitate growth, and to provide support to each member. The students spent a lot of time together, and since we all lived together, the faculty were almost always available to the students as well. So many informal but very important conversations took place around the fountain in the courtyard or over coffee on the veranda. And most of the activities of the course were consciously structured to foster relationships and community. The facilitated interdisciplinary learning model involves utilizing all five senses to enhance learning and expand the connections the students made. In the interviews, one student of each team focused on observing the surroundings, observing body language, paying attention to the smells, the sights, the sounds of the interview setting, while the other student was conducting the interview. In addition, we used sticky notes a lot. We worked with keywords in the readings and in the model construction. So the students would put a key concept on a sticky note, one concept or one word per sticky note. And then we'd put those up on the whiteboard as we were discussing or as the students were presenting. And then they could be moved around. So the next student presenter could say, well, yeah, but in my reading, this one is related to that one. And they would physically move it and using the different colors. So it really got a lot going. And finally, we provided ice cream. We bought ice cream for our students at critical points in the course. And it really helped the students. This was particularly after the interviews, which were very stressful, as you can imagine, for young students who don't speak Spanish real well. And they had struggled through an interview and struggled to establish that contact. And we wanted them to unwind, relax, and really process the interview. So we would go to an ice cream store, we would buy them ice cream, they would go off with their little ice cream, and it was really great. It worked very well. The Association for Experiential Education says that it is focused reflection which distinguishes experiential education from experience. We define this asset as facilitating deep thinking to enhance growth, process negative experiences, and deepen personal commitment to service and justice. We built in reflection in a variety of ways, including small groups, the whole class, and individual reflection. Most of these were semi-structured to facilitate effective reflection, but leave open doors for wherever reflections might take the students. And we as faculty also spent some time in individual and collaborative reflection. Here you see Dr. Gasper writing in her journal. And that's the fountain in the courtyard, which is just like a favorite place. So most of our outcomes were gathered from student writings and end of course interviews. Academically, the students reported learning more by linking those two disciplines. One student wrote, "I really liked this integration of microfinance and public health. I found the two topics interesting and I liked to see how they coincided." More than one student also wrote that, quote, I like this one, "Public health made finance intelligible." We did a pre-post test of knowledge of public health and of qualitative research. And as you can see, the scores went up significantly. We watched student confidence and agency grow through the short time we had for the class. We had developed, for example, a very detailed interview guide. But after watching the students struggle with that, we opened a class discussion on interviewing and on what information they would want to ask about and how they could ask about it to understand the impact of microfinance on public health, on the health of families and communities. Once we let them direct the interviews, they became much more confident and the interviews were much better as well. Students also valued being responsible for some of the teaching and some of the content. One of the students said, "By each preparing our own articles, a lot of really educational discussion was generated." From the beginning, the students had major responsibility in the teaching and facilitation. For some, this was their first experience that fully utilized a seminar format. And in addition, it was very clear to the students that they had, especially in this model building, that they had information that we, the faculty, did not have because we weren't in the interviews. As mentioned earlier, much of the learning took place outside the scheduled class time, so we really had a learning community that extended far beyond the walls of the classroom. The various sensory aspects included manipulating the colorful sticky notes, consciously observing and smelling during the interviews, ice cream. The students commented on what they saw, quote, "These observations made it clear to me that she takes great pride in her business." They commented on what they smelled. One of the families we interviewed raised pigs and produced sausage in one of the city's poorer slums. The team that went there commented that inside the shack it was so clean you could not even smell the pigs that were in the pens right outside the shack. And finally, the students shared many reactions in their reflections. One student wrote, "The information comparing high school graduation in the U.S. and the DR shocked me. Seeing the actual statistics made me really aware of this tragic reality of a 10% graduation rate for the Dominican Republic. Using reflections strengthened the impact of the experience and, for some, solidified developing passions." One student wrote, "Now I'm interested in finding out how I can advocate for human dignity, especially among the poor and marginalized." And two of the students decided to switch their majors, one to anthropology and one to public health. So I really don't have time to go through the model, but if there's time after the other presenters, we can come back to it. That's not sufficient. So the course was an overwhelming success. It generated a great deal of interest among the students at Creighton University and also in some of the developing microfinance community in Omaha. So it's going to be offered again in January, and I can't leave my job to go teach it. So Dr. Gasper has found a pharmacy faculty member with an MPH who is going to team up with her to do this course again. They're refining the curriculum, but mostly they're focusing on creating and conducting a more rigorous evaluation. As you can tell, this was a very informal evaluation of the outcomes of the course itself and of the model that we were developing. They will repeat those qualitative interviews, and they will revise or expand or start over on that model to look at the impact of microfinance on public health. So it was really fun telling you all about this, and there's the information. And as I said, you can read more on our blog. I blogged every day, and there's lots of pictures, so there's much more depth about the individual interviews, about what the students did, just and reflections on that. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much.